Blog Talk Radio.
This set up the war between the United States and Mexico. In 1821, Mexico, which ruled Texas and was considered, Texas was considered a province of Mexico, Mexico allowed Moses Austin, who was apparently the father of Stephen Austin, the first president of the Republic of Texas, they allowed 300 families to come to Texas, but they were supposed to embrace Roman Catholicism. There were many problems, and they were supposed to learn Spanish. And so all these internal struggles and tensions led to the war between Mexico and the United and Texas, the Battle of the Alamo, and then the Battle of San Jacinto, which the Mexicans under Santa Ana was defeated. And, of course, the United States saw this as an opportunity to acquire a big chunk of land. It's not the first time. In 1871, the first cable cars were developed by Andrew Halliday. If you come to San Francisco, you'd be able to, the cable cars is one of the big attractions. On 1893, the Queen of Hawaii was deposed, and that Lilulani, I think I pronounced her name right, and that set up the stage for the United States to acquire Hawaii. It's all these little interesting things. People get deposed of their wars, and the United States acquires property and land. And then, of course, in the Eisenhower administration, Hawaii became the 50th state. Alaska became the 49th state. Also, in 1899, the United States acquired Wake Island. And, of course, in World War II, the Japanese overran it and brutally treated our U.S. Marine POWs. They were shipped to Japan to work in the mines, horrible things that the Japs did. Tojo's boys did to our Marines. It was also, Wake Island was also the site of the 1952 meeting, I think, or 51 meeting, between President Truman and General Douglas MacArthur. MacArthur wanted to bomb, to invade China across the Yellow River, and Truman didn't want this. He had already used the atomic bomb twice. He didn't want to use it a third time. He feared that he would have to use it because the Chinese had a million men army, their army massed on the border. And, of course, the Chinese did cross the Yalu into North Korea, and Douglas MacArthur and his forces and the U.N. Army had to retreat. But MacArthur was disobedient, insubordinate, and Harry Truman fired him. Truman was castigated But history, unfortunately for General Douglas MacArthur, history has exonerated President Harry S. Truman, who did what he saw was right. Also, we heard over the Christmas holidays that this icebreaker was this cruise ship or junket ship, as some people call it, went down to the South Pole. No, Antarctica, I think. Anyway, got stuck in the ice, and then three icebreakers tried to go through, one from Australia, one from China, one from Russia, and turned out that this they were supposed to be investigating global warming, and this is when they really needed it, or climate change, and this is when that ship really needed it. There's a lot of controversy of why that ship was even down there. And, of course, the U.S. Coast Guard cutter went to try to rescue the four ships. But in 1912, British explorer Robert Falcon Scott thought he would get to Antarctica first, but it turns out a month before, Raoul Amundsen, the Norwegian, had reached the South Pole. And, of course, in Chicago, they've named a high school after Amundsen, and we'll get into that another day. In 1917, the United States acquired another piece of property, the Virgin Islands. The United States paid Denmark $25 million. And then in 1945, the Poles had never forgiven the Russians. There was a liberation of Warsaw, and then Stalin had plans for Poland, Romania, Bulgaria, Yugoslavia. And, of course, the Poles were enslaved by Stalin and the Russian army. In 1948, Sukarno was the independence leader in Indonesia. The Dutch had ruled Indonesia. It was its wealthiest territory. And there was a civil war, and there was a ceasefire in 1948. And the Dutch gave Indonesia, one of the wealthiest country and the biggest Muslim country in Asia, they gave the Indonesia its independence, and of course Sukarno became the president. And I'm sorry, folks, we got a telephone problem here. Anyway, he became the leader, and he coined this phrase that in new countries who want to be democratic, they have to be guided. So the term. Sorry, Dave, the phone went off, and I can't disconnect the line because it's connected to this. 1957, if you also come to San Francisco, and a lot of people are going to be coming from the East, the politicians, the real estate developers, and the bogus nonprofit operators, and the Democratic Party wants 200,000 more people to come to San Francisco. We don't have the housing and facilities even for the people we have here. Anyway, in 1957, one of the plans for the developers was the eastern part of Northern California, Contra Costa County, Alameda County. They wanted to develop that. It was farmland and vineyards. So they came up with this idea of BART, Bay Area Rapid Transit. And now, and George Christopher was involved in that, the great mayor of San Francisco. He was a person who saw development as necessary to sustain the economic life of this area. And so today, if you come out to San Francisco, the Northern Bay Area, the transportation system like they have in Chicago, like the CTA, which goes out to O'Hare Airport and some of the other airlines, which have subway service from the inner city. So we have now Bay Area Rapid Transit, which is which you now go to the San Francisco International Airport. Of course, people got there over the holiday could not fly out of San Francisco to the east because of all the storms. Right now we have very balmy weather. Now on this date also in 1966, I was back there. I did have a live interview or in our archives. Martin Luther King was talking about Chicago as being the most segregated city in the North, and of course Richard Daley was furious. And he made, you know, there was a lot of bad blood, but unfortunately, it was true. Unfortunately, also, I can't find it in our system. I'll try again. But anyway, that was true. And, of course, Martin Luther King's day is celebrated Monday, and so we'll try to have that interview on Monday at our 3:30 show. On this day also, our first atomic submarine, the USS Nautilus, began its test. Now, this among the birthdays today is that of Benjamin Franklin, who incidentally didn't want the turkey, thought it was the eagle as a symbol of the United States. He thought it was a dirty bird. He wanted the turkey. Of course, we've got a lot of turkeys in politics, but he didn't get his way, so the turkey ended up on the table for Thanksgiving. Al Capone was born on this day, and of course, I worked in the federal courthouse as my first job, and I knew I was a clerk, and I knew a lot of the survivors of the Al Capone era. Unfortunately, the judge had long since died, but some of the survivors who had investigated Capone or were familiar with that investigation were still around. They're not around anymore. But anyway, Al Capone really caused a lot of problems in Chicago, even to this day, with the mafia. He was a lot of brains. And, of course, one of the unique things about Alcatraz Island, a dog was brought over there, and there's a picture of it, the dog up on the web visiting Al Capone's cell. We'll show you that another day. The other interesting thing, this is part of the fiction. During the 50s, Walter Winchell came up with he wrote a book, which is largely fiction, because he featured a guy named Elliot Ness, who was a government investigator, as the, quote, untouchables. These were supposed to be incorruptible cops and investigators who were trying to bring down the mighty Al Capone. The fact is that Elliot Ness had very little to do with the investigation and prosecution of Al Capone. What had happened was the publisher of the Chicago Tribune, Colonel Robert McCormick — he was a colonel because he served in World War I, and that was his title when he was in the Army — the publisher of the Chicago Tribune asked President Hoover to send in a special squad of accountants, investigators, and prosecutors to bring down Al Capone because of causing a lot of problems in Chicago, corrupting cops, corrupting politicians and judges. And so they sent in a special accountant, a Treasury Department accountant named Elmer Lincoln Irie. And I had a picture of him somewhere. Anyway, he got a hold of Al Capone's books, and they discovered Al Capone was making all his money, but he was not paying income tax. And that's what brought Al Capone down. Not the Untouchables, not Robert Stock, not Elliot Ness. Now, Elliot Ness was a flaky guy. He later went to Cleveland, and where he screwed up there, and he kind of fell into well-deserved obscurity. Now, among the other things going on with these people among the other things today, President Rutherford B. Hayes was the second president to decide he only wanted one term. The first was James K. Polk, who said he was going to serve one term. He's one of our great presidents. He was the one who was also involved in the Mexican War, and he served one term. Rutherford B. Hayes, who was a Civil War general, he's one of the from Ohio, which is also the mother of presidents. Virginia and Ohio are the mother of presidents, or the two mothers. Anyway, Hayes decided he wanted one term, and that was it. But during that one term, he appointed John Marshall Harlan, who was the associate Supreme Court justice who authored the separation of the equal but separate facilities for blacks, or Negroes, as they were called. They weren't called African Americans in those days. And John Marshall Harlan's grandson later became also John Harlan, was appointed a U.S. Supreme Court Associate Justice during the President Eisenhower administration. But that was one of the interesting things. Now, among the other things that happened on this day, here we go, a little problem here. I hate this system. We have a illegal alien who became a San Francisco politician. He came here illegally. David Campos came here illegally from South America. He is a gay political activist. He's trying to impose his opinion about abortion protests by anti-abortion American citizens. And there's a serious question of this. He's not the first guy to try to do this. come into our country as an illegal or even as a legal immigrant and then trying to impose their views and their ideas and their rules on American citizens. They should be grateful that they're allowed to stay here. Now, we don't know if Campos, who is gay and makes no bones about it, whether or not he became a U.S. citizen, and if he did or if he became an undocumented immigrant, there's all these categories. Under the U.S. Selective Service laws, which are still in effect, when any male in the United States, except if you are son of a, if you are involved with a diplomatic mission, if you're the son of the ambassador or consul or whatever, or commercial attaché, you're not covered. That these people are not covered. But if you, a male in the United States who is 18 years old has to register with the United States Selective Service when they within 30 days or by 30 days. And if they don't, they are ineligible for any federal aid. This, unfortunately, has been forgotten, but it's on the books. And there's a question about this guy, David Campos, and others. And where does he get off trying to tell American citizens what their rights of protest and assembly are? So, you know, we've got to fight this disenfranchisement by these illegals that are coming in this country. He's not the only one. We have this with some other people who are very abusive, and they're lucky to even be in this country. I'm going to try. Oh, I think we'll play a little Al Capone. This is from our archives, and of course, it's part of the audio, and I use it for one of my lectures. And Al Capone warns the corrupt newsman. Now, there was a guy named escapes him right now. But anyway, there was a newsman who was feeding Al Capone all kinds of information. He had connections in the police department with judges. And he decided he was going to desert Al Capone. And this is how Al Capone, and this excerpt is accurate, this is how Al Capone reacted to this newsman who said, you know, you're through, Al.
I went with Moran, and you know why? Because you're through. You're on your way out.
Wait a minute. Now, let's understand each other. You're quitting me for Moran, right?
You heard it.
All right. Remember one thing.
Anybody quits Capone, it's a big gamble. Is that so?
That's so.
Oh, yeah. Well, don't threaten me, fat boy. You've been killing your own kind. But you haven't killed a cop, and you'll never touch a newspaper man. Because if you do, that's really gambling.
That was a clip from the movie, part of our audio archives. But this is true that this guy, he had, when he died, he was assassinated or murdered in the Illinois Central subway station down in Grant Park, which was also the site of the 1968 protests against the Democratic Party and the Vietnam War. But anyway, this whole episode is very accurate, and this newsman was shot in the head. And when his estate was investigated, it found that he had all this money. And, of course, I think he worked for the Chicago Herald American, which was a Hearst paper at that time, long since defunct. And, of course, you're wondering, where did he try to get all this money as a newsman? He didn't make this kind of money. He never wrote any articles, and so they discovered that he was taking bribes from Big Al Capone. And, of course, that wasn't the only person who was doing that. So these things, you know, happen, and we have here in San Francisco, we have dirty news people, and I'll bring it up, how they secretly got condos in what we call the condo gate scandal, got condos, a low-income affordable housing condos, Department of Housing and Urban Development. And of course, we have the real estate documents to back up what we're saying. We always try to do that. The noise in the background was my phone was interrupted, and there's nothing I can do about it. Sorry about that, folks. And I'm still having a problem with this system. I don't like it. Every time I try to do something gets screwed up. So, but anyway, We will be back Monday. I hope we have all this settled. I thought we had part of it settled. We will have those audio clips, which I used for my lectures in the San Francisco Unified School District and at not Kiwanis Club, but other clubs. I think it was the Moose or whatever. It's been some time, but we have over 1,000 interviews, stuff that I did in Australia, New Zealand, Canada, United States, videos that we have done. And also, if you're coming to San Francisco or Northern California, more and more pedestrians and even motorcyclists and bicyclists are being run down or hit-and-run accident, not accident, hit-and-run collisions, mostly pedestrians. And there's this attitude of, I'm special, if you're driving a car, get out of my way. And even a lot of the bicyclists are doing this. A lot of people don't know this, but according to some statistics from New York hospitals, the state of New York, about 1,000 admissions to emergency rooms involve pedestrians who've been run down by bicyclists. You know, it's really out of control. And cynically, we say, if you're coming to San Francisco, don't wear flowers in your hair, wear a crash helmet. And we will give you tips on how to avoid being run down in the crosswalk by reckless drivers and bicyclists. Also, if you're running out of money and you need a meal, there's a lot of resources here in San Francisco. We'll be putting up resources where you can get food to get you through if you're in between, you're here and you're in between jobs and don't have a job, whatever. There, we put together a lot of resources to help people who need help. So we'll have that too. And we're going to end a few minutes early because I can't get this damn system working ever since they changed it. It's, you know, it's embarrassing. So we'll end with our usual politics and poker. And, yeah, here we go. Excuse me. And here we go.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet up.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Need a game for children, need a game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet,
where to call a bluff.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paratrays.
Bet 'em.
Little trades, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your five.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fanyashinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt, died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale? Frank ain't a citizen, and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker! Politics and poker! Play for a pot that's mediocre! Politics and poker! Rubbing neck and neck! If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck! Politics and poker! Politics and poker! Makes the average guy a heavy smoker! Bessel on the knee and give him a regard! And watch while he learns that in poker and politics, brother, you gotta have that slippery, haphazardous commodity! You gotta have the
We'll be back Monday, which is Martin Luther King birthday, next holiday, and hopefully we'll have those audio historical archival excerpts, and other we'll be talking about is the United States over-lawyered, surprising things that are coming out. There are new blogs on the web about lawyer corruption, judicial corruption. It's very interesting, and it's long overdue. And we really need it. Anyway, this is Peter Paul Brizola, and I'm sorry for all the screw-ups here. And we'll hopefully we'll have this resolved by Monday fully. It's a bad way to start the year. So stay safe, stay warm, and go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSVERITAS. Good night. Have a safe weekend.